Background, Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
This is Al LaGuire speaking again for Background, Michigan. Today we start looking behind the scenes, or perhaps we might say behind the curtains, of a brand new topic on Background, Michigan. A topic that not only holds popular excitement and the aura of glamour, but a most timely one as well. A topic that is characterized by sounds like these. If you haven't already recognized them, you've been listening to the familiar, exciting sounds of summer theater. Sounds that will soon be filling the air from Maine to California and in our own state of Michigan. The sound of the hammer pounding in a brace or building a new flat. The hearty voice of a chorus rehearsing a number. The knowing, authoritative voice of a director frantically molding his show into its final form. Yes, the sounds and sights and atmospheres of summer theater have become a familiar part of Michigan's summer scene. Names like Northland, Petoskey, Houghton Lake, Cherry County Playhouse, the Red Barn, and others are bright points on the summer map of fun to add to our natural attractions as a summer playland. Summer theaters in Michigan fit many descriptions and are operated by many different kinds of companies. Some, like the Manistee Summer Theater, are housed in the spacious and charming opera houses built during the days of Michigan's lumber boom and steeped in the splendor and tradition of bygone days. Others, like the Red Barn in Saugatuck, were actually converted from the legendary barns that housed the beginnings of the summer stock theater movement. The new intimacy of arena theater can be found in Traverse City's Cherry County Playhouse and the Clark Lake Theater. And you'll find all kinds of repertory companies in Michigan summer theater, from the star systems of Northland Playhouse, Cherry County Playhouse, and Houghton Lake, to the semi-professional groups of the Manistee Summer Theater, the Red Barn, and many others. And we can't overlook the many circle theaters and conventional theaters active on our college campuses and in communities throughout the state during the summer. In the next few programs, we're going backstage to meet the actors, the directors, the promoters, the students, the people who make up and contribute the sweat and strain, the heart and hopes of the summer theater in Michigan, all of whom are dedicated to providing the best possible entertainment to Michigan audiences and tourists. We'll talk about their problems, their activities, their impressions, and the business of running summer theater. We'll get their impressions of Michigan audiences and the differences between summer theater in the Midwest and on the East Coast. We'll look at the money side of summer theater, the prices and the promotion and the profit, or lack of it. All a part of the color and the excitement of summer theater in Michigan. So join us tomorrow backstage as we begin our study of summer theater, Michigan style, on Background, Michigan. This is Al LaGuire speaking for program associates Becky Krim and Marcia Matero and associate producer Jules Rossman. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background, Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
Summer theater in Michigan is our new topic on Background, Michigan. When you think of summer theater, you must think of the acting company, which is, of course, the backbone of any theater, whether it be the star system, or whether it employs a company of semi-professionals and apprentices. Summer theater is thought of as an excellent training ground for the college student, and last year at the Manistee Summer Theater, a unique program of learning and working took place in conjunction with Mercy College of Detroit. To get an insight into this particular summer stock setup, its value to the young apprentice, and the kind of schedule maintained, we spoke to one of the two directors of last year's Manistee Summer Theater, Jim Foote. Here is part of that interview recorded backstage at the old Ramsdell Opera House. This is Al LaGuire backstage for Background Michigan. At the present time, we're backstage at the Ramsdell Opera House in Manistee. This is one of the oldest and indeed most colorful theaters in Michigan, with a fascinating background history and a very active present-day story. We're happy to have with us at Mike's side here, at our particular position along adjacent to the light control board at the Ramsdell stage, Mr. James Foote, who is one of the two directors of the current Manistee Summer Theater Company. Jim, would you give us a few words, first of all, about the current operation that is going on here at the Ramsdell? What is the Manistee Summer Theater doing right now?
Well, this season, the 1963 season, is composed of is set up to cover both the business of putting on shows and the business of educating people in the theater. I think this is the first time they've had a group of just such a nature here. We are from Mercy College of Detroit, Al Zolton and myself and Larry Carrico, who's also here with us this morning. And we've set this up as a part commercial enterprise and part educational, in that we're trying to make the entire thing a summer course in summer stock. It's worked out fairly well because, well, for one thing, you can't get through a season of plays doing nine or so weeks of plays and seven different plays without learning something, sometimes brutally, in the wee hours of the morning before opening night. So it's a real learning experience, and we've tried to stress that all season long.
Then does this indicate that you have a number of students,
yes,
dramatic students?
Yes, we do. We've selected some student assistants from our own dramatic department at Mercy College. They are all going into their senior year, that is, between their junior and senior years. We've had five of them selected, one on each department, like costumes, properties, and box office assistantships, and so on, who also get into the shows when we need them in singing and dancing roles and some of the smaller parts.
Is there compensation in terms of credit for work, or do they make any money at it?
Well, partly credit, and they have a subsistence allowance, so to speak, that lets them get by on expenses for a week, but it's not really what you'd call a salary. We have a regular company, too, who are salaried, and they're made up of some of the better collegiate actors, semi-professional, I guess you would say, and professional people from the Detroit area and elsewhere. We've brought them in even from New York. So we have a very mixed company, mixed in experience and mixed in terms of what they have done already on the stage, and in terms of their singing, dancing, and various versatile abilities in the theater.
I would imagine this is necessary to support the schedule of eight or nine.
Absolutely,
very different plays.
Especially with two musicals in there, and they're different kinds of plays, realistic comedy, farce. John Brown's Body is a reading, a dramatic reading, so we've tried to pick a very varied schedule, and to do a schedule like that in such a short time, you need people who are experienced in these various genres of the drama.
The Michigan Summer Theater Movement, to be continued on Background Michigan. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
The summer theater in Michigan is our current subject. This is Al LaGuire continuing our visit behind the scenes of the summer theaters of Michigan. We are looking at the backstage problems of the people who make up the summer theater world, the actors, the directors, the managers, the college drama students, and the apprentices. Yesterday, we spoke to James Foote, co-director of the Manistee Summer Theater 1963 season, which was operated as both a commercial theater and a summer stock course for aspiring members of the Mercy College Theater Department. Here, students had both the opportunity to work and to learn. Probably the most popular form of student activity, however, is the apprentice system, where students work with stars, professionals, and semi-professionals. Recently, we talked with John Hurd, director of the 1963 season at Houghton Lake Summer Theater, and an actor himself. We were speaking of the ability of the actor to translate the language of the play for the audience by his talent and understanding of good acting and what it means. How does the student acquire this ability to translate? He studies, he takes lessons, and he acts. We ask John what the college student can learn from summer stock. What about the college actors working in summer theater casts? Are they capable of making these translations on their own? I'm thinking of the senior level student.
Some of them are, but as with any special language, no matter how brilliantly well-trained someone is in one language, it's difficult for a man who knows only English to listen to something in French and be able to translate it into English without an intermediary, without a translator. And the language of theater, after all, moves by pretty fast. If it were obvious to an intelligent person, the illusion would be broken. It takes someone who can tear it apart piece by piece and show how these pieces were put together, someone who can analyze. A college student may have tools of analysis, but he may not know the medium well enough to make it. So I still think that he also needs a translator. Perhaps some places have this. In your experience, have you run across perhaps college teachers of acting or New York teachers of production, acting, and directing being part of the staff of a summer theater to help apprentices?
Yes.
Well, this probably is the best bridge, I would say.
Well, the sort of experience that you've had would put you uniquely in a position to do this. You have worked in New York, and you come originally from the East Coast, and now you have associations with several universities and Midwestern summer theaters, as well as on the West Coast.
Yes, as a matter of fact, this is what I'll be doing this summer. I am a consultant to an advanced acting class while I'm directing three stars in three productions. The students that I teach in acting, along with two other professional teachers of acting, one in pantomime, one in speech, will help bridge the gap for these students between the classroom and the production, where they will be actively engaged as actors, as technicians, props people, and so forth, while performing with stars. So they'll have the possibility of seeing the prime example, the star himself. In our case, it will be Pat O'Brien, Dodie Goodman, and Eddie Bracken. We've already mentioned that's at the Fine Arts Festival in Iowa. We've already mentioned who the stars were at Houghton Lake. Now, if someone can bridge this gap, if someone has the time, then it can be very valuable to the college student.
The comments of actor, director, and drama teacher John Hurd on The College Student in Summer Theater, its pitfalls and its advantages. We will continue this backstage look tomorrow into the Michigan Summer Theater Movement. Join us then for Background Michigan. Al LaGuire speaking. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background Michigan.
Summer Theater and The Apprentice, our current angle of view as we continue our backstage look at Michigan Summer Theater Movement. This is Al LaGuire, and once again we are talking with director John Hurd. We ask John his views on The Apprentice's position in the star system type of summer theater.
First of all, The Apprentice is the untrained person, and so he is picking up New York theater rather than a special regional approach that might work better than either a simple homegrown variety or a New York approach. Perhaps New York techniques applied to regional interests and regional peculiarities, idiosyncrasies, and so on. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't usually have the ability to sort out and make the crossover by himself. Second problem is that the apprentice is largely used as a jack of all trades. He sweeps up the theater. He does very little acting. He does very little designing, very little directing, very little concept work at all. It's mostly cleanup. Now, this isn't true wherever I work. I insist, and most of the people with whom I work insist, that the apprentice learns, thinks, performs many tasks in many areas, and simply isn't a workhorse to do the dirty jobs. Now, a third problem is that the specialist is missing to make the switch. It might even be a sociologist, I don't know. It might be an educator. Someone there to translate. As an example, in New York City, while I was on the staff of Columbia University School of Dramatic Arts, we had a famous Broadway actress whose name will come to me in a minute, Gertrude Lawrence.
Gertrude Lawrence.
Well, Gertrude Lawrence taught acting there. After two sessions, we realized that she was a great actress but couldn't teach. So the head of the department, who was a great teacher but couldn't act, joined the course, and these people got one of the best courses I've ever seen, one of the greatest teachers and one of the greatest actresses combining their talents to produce actors. Now, this often is the problem with the apprentice system. Great actors often cannot teach, and without someone to point out what the universal is behind the unique that the actor is performing, the apprentice either picks up a cheap bag of tricks or picks up nothing except a certain amount of know-how, how to get out of work or or making contacts in New York or something like this. So it needs a teacher, a qualified person to make the carryover, to point up the examples and so on.
We obtained another view on the apprentice system from Mary Bettles of the Red Barn Theater at Saugatuck, which, unlike the star system, features the opportunity of working with a semi-professional cast and stars of a lesser degree.
You have an apprentice plan. These are selected early in the year.
How have they been coming along?
Oh, they're great. They work very hard and do very little complaining. And we'll do well with their parts. And of course, this is the thing that they want to do, learn all phases of theater.
Do the apprentices have an opportunity to actually participate as actors in the plays?
Indeed they do, yes. We have two this year. Nikki Gallis, who has been with us for 7 years, jobbed in for musicals, for dancing. And another gal, Elizabeth Lee, who has been with us for 5 years. They're both apprentices. Nikki did Pearl in Tobacco Road, and Liz Lee did the Geisha Girl in Tea House of the August Moon.
Comments on the role of the apprentice under two different types of summer theater organizations. We'll continue our look at the actor in summer theater on Background Michigan. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.
Background Michigan. The people, the places, the resources, the industries, and the arts. The inside story of our complex environment. The state where we live and work. Background, Michigan.
This is Al LaGuire continuing our backstage look at life in the summer theater, Michigan style. We're speaking about the young apprentice, his role and opportunities, under the various types of summer theater companies, the star system, the semi-professional group. Today we're going to get the actor's viewpoint on the subject from Bill McGuire, a professional actor and member of the 1963 Manistee Summer Theater. We spoke to Bill last season backstage about the actor's day.
Well, tell us, what is the summer theater actor's day like? When do you start out?
Well, this morning I got up at 12, but we usually get up at 8:30. There are classes from 9 to 10, which some of us teach. We teach acting and directing and play production. And we teach the apprentices. We only have four apprentices here. We usually have between the places I've been between 12 and 25, and this makes the workload much lighter. But as it is now, all these actors that are in Little Mary Sunshine, some of them will be doing music cues, sound cues, light cues just before they go on. Some of them be running up to the grid, that 40-foot grid up there, and pulling ropes and running back down, coming on stage. And it's an extremely full schedule because, as I say, we're rehearsing two shows a day and doing a different one at night. And most people, if they come and watch us for a day, they say, "You people are mad." Well, I think acting is a form of inspired madness. But it's like a serpent that sucks your blood. Once you get the bug, this life is so exciting and fulfilling that it drains off all your energy and you love it.
Do you think in general, Bill, that the acting company of this or any other summer theater that you've been associated with integrates quite readily with the local community, or do they have a little trouble communicating?
They have a little trouble communicating. I think the actor is a little suspect, and I think maybe he should, because he lives emotionally rather than intellectually. And I think it's first of all up to the actor to show that he is a sincere person with a sane philosophy of life. And I think that sometimes you come into a theater where maybe some of the actors there have been rather bizarre, and I think this is five strikes against you right there. And so I'd like to plead to all actors, the reputation that you have is going to affect the actors that follow you, and it sort of can help a great deal if you lead a very sane life.
From the standpoint of the actor who's interested consistently, professionally, can he gain a great deal from summer theater work?
Oh, absolutely. Doing a play a week, sometimes you're told you have to play this mad Russian in this play, and you say, "But I don't know a Russian accent, and I don't think I could play this extreme extrovert." They said, "You're the only person to play it. You play it." And so you just go to your room for about 4 hours, and you get a characterization. You start to visualize this person or anyone you know that was Russian. You try to feel. Recall moments when you felt like this mad person, or you try to understand the part, and it really teaches you to study a script. You know, where are those climaxes and the transitions, and what are the keywords, and you learn a technique for yourself. You discover your own technique in summer stock. You have to, because there's no time for a director to give you a characterization, to give you interpretation. You sink or swim, and luckily, all the groups I've been with, everyone has swum.
An actor's views on the actor's life in summer theater, voiced by Bill McGuire of the 1963 Manistee Summer Theater. Michigan Summer Theater Backstage, to be continued on Background Michigan. This is the Michigan State Radio Network.